The following program is furnished by Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
And hello, 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 everybody. Happy Thursday. And you know what? We're going into that nice, beautiful, long weekend, Labor Day weekend. And we've got a water fire happening on Sunday, a very exciting water fire, and a really incredible show today. I am so privileged and blessed to have with me Barnaby Evans, the creator of Water Fire, because not only is it a Labor Day weekend fire happening on a Sunday, which is so very rare, we're actually doing something very important considering all of the events that are happening in our world and in our nation today. We are going to be having a gathering, and we're going to recognize the importance of the Rhode Island Holocaust Memorial and a lot of other groups, and I'm going to let Barnaby speak to that. We've got an incredible lineup of guests that we'll be speaking with today. So there's a lot of information that's going to get packed in. I also have sitting here at the table with me the Reverend Dr. Richard Dannenfelser, who has been, well, he was the, chaplain at Brown University, but also has been huge in the civil rights movement since the 60s, marched with Dr. King. There are letters in the JFK library that went back and forth between Martin Luther King and Dr. Dannenfelser, or Reverend Dannenfelser, often known as the Rockin' Rev. But with further ado, I would like to say, hey, Barnaby, thanks for taking the time out and being here with me today.
I'm so happy to be here, Brahman. This is an important subject, and it's a great opportunity to raise something we need to talk about as a community.
Yeah, raise some awareness. And Richard, thank you for joining us as well.
Yes, and can I just add, my dear, that I have been back and forth as a federal government consultant to Charlottesville in the last week. So,
sure. Great. So, you know, Rich, you just need to speak into that microphone a little bit more.
Yes, dear.
Okay, there we are. So, Barnaby, what? Let's talk about what's happening this weekend.
Well, as we all know, the nation has been watching an ongoing debate about how one deals with community civic unity and bigotry and hatred. And it's important for us to make a larger statement about how we as a community feel about those things. And Charlottesville really brought many of these things to immediate attention of everyone. And it seemed one remembers that Martin Niemöller poem about how, you know, first they came for the communists and I wasn't a communist, etc. We need to hang together, or surely we will be hung separately. And this larger idea of how the community feels about hatred and engagement is a very important thing to do. And the preeminent memorial down at Waterfire where one could start discussing these issues is the Rhode Island Holocaust Memorial, which has been in Providence for about a year and a half. And Waterfire has been very privileged to be able to bring attention to that. And we've got Adam Greenman here from the Jewish Alliance of Greater Rhode Island, who's the president and CEO, the new president and CEO. And I think he can join us. Adam, are you here?
Adam, are you on the line?
We'll find Adam. But the Jewish Alliance of Greater Rhode Island was the principal organization behind the idea of the necessity of creating a memorial in Providence, which really harkens back to Roger Williams' original principles of founding Providence as a haven for all those persecuted for reasons of conscience. And the memorial is right there in Memorial Park near the World War Memorial and next to the World War Memorial, the World War II Memorial, and the Korean War Memorial between North Main and the river, right near College Street. And we're asking everyone in Rhode Island who believes that a community can come together and hold issues of justice and tolerance and faith as important in the community to come join us at the Holocaust Memorial. And there's going to be no speaking program. We're just going to be gathering to show support and solidarity for these issues of engaged inclusion of everyone.
And because it is, it's an anniversary, right? It was just last year that it was actually on Labor Day weekend that they
It's been about a year, and of even more specificity, they just recently added to the memorial the names of some Rhode Island Holocaust survivors whose names are now on the memorial.
You know what the great news is? I just heard that. Adam, you're on the line.
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, excellent. Sorry about the... I think we just got disconnected. So,
oh, no worries.
Glad to be here. Thank you all so much for having me.
Well, thank you. I'm going to let Barnaby be the lead on talking about, you know, what's going on with the, you know, the Jewish Alliance of Greater Rhode Island, and speak to you about what we're trying to do here.
Well, Adam, you were the recently positioned new president and CEO of the Jewish Alliance of Greater Rhode Island. So congratulations. Welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Larger community.
Thank
I know you've been in Rhode Island for some time, but welcome to this new position.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here, and this is just a phenomenal organization to be a part of, to you know, be a leader of, and you know, I think couldn't have started at a more poignant time in our society, in our culture. I heard you all talking a little bit before I joined the call, before I joined the conversation, and you know, these are trying times, and you know, so it was already an exciting position to be taking, and I think it's more relevant now than ever.
And the issue is people forgetting or glossing over or pretending this didn't exist, which is why a physical memorial downtown was so important.
Exactly. I think, you know, and again, I've been here a month today, and but have been involved and know from that our staff worked really hard with the community as a whole. There was a real desire from survivors and from the larger Jewish community that we really needed a physical space to remember the Holocaust, not just for our community, but for the larger community, that we really needed to live into the idea that we can never forget the atrocities that happened during World War II, not only to Jews, but to so many folks. You know, the Nazis tried to exterminate many groups of people. Jews are certainly the largest group that was affected, but we can never forget the fact that this kind of hatred and bigotry was able to exist, and we need to work hard as a society today to make sure that we send a reminder to the community that this kind of hatred and bigotry is unacceptable, that neo-Nazism, that white supremacy is not okay, it's not acceptable. And, you know, it's so heartening. You know, I'm sure you've already talked about it, Barnaby, but we had an event down at the memorial this Monday to unveil names of those Holocaust survivors that sought refuge here in Rhode Island. And it was so wonderful to see so many members of the Rhode Island community as a whole come out and support that event, and to hear the stories of some of the survivors of the Holocaust, to hear their stories and to hear their message of why we can never forget. And it's so nice to see such an outpouring from the entire community to say that, you know, we won't tolerate this kind of hatred and bigotry.
And the importance here is it was that silence that may have allowed this to have happened 70 years ago.
Absolutely. You referred to the poem earlier, mm-hmm. and, you know, silence is an enemy here. And mm-hmm. we need to be vocal about the fact that these things happened. It's why I'm really proud that, you know, our state legislature and our governor put into place the genocide education bill last year to make sure that people have to study or required. It's part of the study before you graduate from school that you you must learn about genocide as a whole and the Holocaust specifically, because we need to teach these lessons that we can't be silent. We must speak up, and we must work together to address the root causes of where this comes from, and to just, you know, let it be known that it's unacceptable.
You know, if I can, sure. not so much interject, but share that being a Calvinist from the Bronx and also a Vietnam veteran who went to Vietnam as Darth Vader and came back as Warrior for Peace. Mm. But being a Calvinist in the Bronx basically means we are never far away from evil. And the way that evil flourishes is for just one of us to remain silent.
Exactly right. Yeah, I think that's
so
important.
We ought to be loudly thinking. I just came back from, as I mentioned before, from Charlottesville for any number of times in the last week. And fascism, neo-Nazism is real. And it's
absolutely.
It's not far from us.
And revisionism. And we all need to come together and support the Jewish Alliance for this memorial and also for the Sandra Bornstein Holocaust Education Center. Adam, that music coming up is letting us know we need to transition, but we are going to be talking about that legislation in the next segment with Pauline and Esther.
So, wonderful.
Adam, thank you so much for your leadership in this, and we invite everyone to join us all down there at 7:15 this coming Sunday. Rain or shine, by the way.
I look forward to seeing you there, Barnaby, and thank you all so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, the one question I have before we go to break is, I thought we were going to be speaking to Michelle Ciccatelli.
If we had time.
We do have time.
Okay.
We do have time. We're just playing what's going on because it's appropriate right now, isn't it? So I don't know. Do we have Michelle on the line? I think that she was probably on. Oh, we don't. We've got Pauline on the line. We'll try to circle back to Michelle a little bit later and see what we can do. But, yeah, we've got Pauline on the line, and we can actually go rolling right into that conversation right now, or do we need to take a break, Ed? We can go right into the conversation? Fantastic. So, Barnaby, introduce Pauline, please, and Esther.
Pauline and Esther. So, Pauline Getroyan, I hope I said that correctly.
Close enough. Getroyan. Very good. You did Getroyan. A great job.
And Esther Kalasian?
Yep. Yes.
The two of you have been helping with the Bornstein Center in this larger idea to create the legislation that Adam spoke about the curriculum, which I think is called A Journey from Despair to Hope, the story of the Armenian Americans of Rhode Island. That's actually a separate project on that. But this is part of this larger effort to have the curriculum in place, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. We're part of the Rhode Island Holocaust and Genocide Education Committee, which was formed in response to
Pauline, can you speak up a little louder into the phone?
Sure, sure.
That's great.
We are part of the Rhode Island Holocaust and Genocide Education Committee, which was formed in response to the legislation that was passed last year. However, Esther and I have a lengthy history going back to the year 2000 with Holocaust and Genocide Education in particular. If you'd like, I can let Esther say a couple of words about that.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to hear Esther.
Hi. In speaking with you, I wanted to let you know, as Pauline had said, for the past 17 years, we've been working on our motto of remembering our past and educating our future, which came about through the 2000 legislation by then-Senator Aram Garabedian, and it was through his foresight and fortitude that he introduced the first piece of legislation, which encouraged Rhode Island educators to include genocide education in our curriculum. Once that was passed, Pauline and I had held teacher training workshops, education symposium, and had done material development and resources to support our educators in the state. And there are several cities and towns at this time that have designated semester courses to the study of genocide as far back as then, but our efforts now continue to have all cities and towns in Rhode Island made aware of this important legislation and this important teaching materials.
Now, Pauline and Esther, both of you, the Armenian genocide was another generation earlier, and here you really see the importance of people speaking about the issue, because we have no one currently alive from that. And you see these great debates about whether it happened or it didn't happen, but the evidence is quite clear. And this is why something like the Bornstein Center and this larger curriculum is so important.
Correct. Absolutely. In fact, one of the areas on which we focus in genocide education is Dr. Gregory Stanton's 10 Stages of Genocide. It's part of Genocide Watch, and the 10 stages of genocide are very clear in explaining how a society progresses from, say, classification and symbolization all the way to extermination and then denial. And one of the things that we're seeing today, and one of the reasons it's so important to teach this subject matter, is what we saw in Charlottesville, as you've been speaking about prior to us coming on. And the Armenian genocide was one of the first genocides of the 20th century, actually recognized as the first formal genocide of the 20th century. And we feel very strongly that had the Armenian genocide been recognized, acknowledged, and punished at that time, that perhaps future genocides might have been avoided.
And on that point, Esther, historians have noted that Hitler actually looked at the Armenian genocide as a source of, you know, have a historical moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yes. He has a very famous quote that many people recognize. As he was getting his generals ready to invade Poland, one of his comments was, "Who, after all, today remembers the extermination of the Armenians?" Yeah.
And you talk about those stages on which a society mixes into this area, and Charlottesville was capturing one or two of those early stages of objectification, acceptance of hatred, emphasis of difference. You know, it must give you great pause. I saw a survivor of one of the World War II really being quite shaken by seeing what happened in Charlotte.
Oh, absolutely. Polarization was very clearly obvious in Charlottesville, and it was horrifying. To those of us who teach this subject matter, we were in shock as we viewed the events as they unfolded.
You know, we better learn from history, otherwise we're going to be destined to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's going on right now, and I see it. I see everything you're talking about and how evil gets rooted. And Hannah Arendt, whose parents died in the Holocaust, said the truth is despotic. Yep. Therefore, let us hope that the truth will be followed, and it will be despotic and terrorize evil.
All right, I'm
going to take
so
a brief
sorry
break, and we'll be right back to you, Pauline.
Yeah, we'll be right back to you, Pauline and Esther, and we thank you for all this incredible work you're doing. We are so looking forward to Sunday.
Thank you.
And hearing more. So if you hold on for a second.
Sure.
We'll be right back, everybody. You're listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business, and I'm here with Barnaby Evans, the creator of Waterfire, the Reverend Dr. Richard Dannenfeltzer, and we're having a very stimulating conversation with Pauline Gitzoyan and Esther Kalasian. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the summer of coffee at Dunkin'. Try a new s'mores frozen Dunkin' coffee, butter pecan iced coffee, or coconut cream pie cold brew today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
95 northbound at Broadway, we have a crash, so that's starting to slow things up as you come through Thurber's Curve and up into town. If you're on 195 westbound, it's going to hang you up as well. 95 southbound, still slow coming out of Pawtucket because of an earlier breakdown at 146. That affects you coming in on 146. You're heavy from Branch Ave in. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, reach for TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can even prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Joan McCallan, CEO of the ICMA Retirement Corporation. Do you know if you'll be ready for retirement? You should. And now you can gain invaluable insight on how your gender, age, and income can affect your retirement plans. You can also learn how to maximize your retirement savings. Visit www.icmarc.org. For more information on the National Save for Retirement campaign and start saving now.
You unhappy with the way your lawn looked this spring and summer, or maybe you're just tired of doing it yourself? If it sounds like you, not too late to get your lawn in great shape. Fall is the perfect time to start a lawn fertilization program with Seascape Lawn Care. Cool days and long nights are ideal conditions for growing and thickening your lawn. Call Seascape Lawn Care. Questions about aeration or overseeding? Leave it to the experts. Call Seascape for a free, no-obligation consultation. One of their licensed experts will survey your property and tell you exactly what it needs and what they can do to help. Investing in your lawn now will result like a beautiful green lawn coming up for next spring. Sign up for a new lawn care program by October 1st, and you'll receive 4 applications for the price of 2. Customers that sign up will receive fertilization treatments which will be limestone and winterization fertilization treatments for absolutely no charge. This offer expires October 1st, so call Seascape today. That's 1-800-294-LAWN, 1-800-294-LAWN, or online. That's seascapeinc.com.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Listen up, homeowners. If you're planning to replace your roof this fall, do yourself a favor. Call Marshall Building and Remodeling now for a free quote. If you wait too long to call, their year may be fully booked. And speaking of fall, right now Marshall's is offering 50% off gutter guards with a new roof to help keep the leaves out.
That's right, Matt. Clogged gutters can be a real problem, and taking care of it with a new roof makes all the sense in the world. So if you need a new roof or want someone to check it out and give you honest advice, give us a call. We'll lock in your project and you'll pay nothing until the work is complete. Plus, we back our work with a full 10-year warranty.
That's a great offer, Tom. For anyone thinking of a new roof, Marshall's is in a class of its own.
Thanks, Matt. We don't pull any punches with people. No fake deals, no high-pressure sales, just honest advice and a fair price. And low monthly payments if needed.
So if you're looking to replace your roof this year, call Marshall's today. You'll get an expertly installed new roof by a company you know and trust, and save big on a leaf protection gutter system. Don't wait. Call for a free quote today at 800-866-1499. That's 800-866-1499, or visit marshallbr.com. Tell them, Tom.
We're your local roofing, siding, and window people.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year, illegally. Poaching is just one of the risks animals face at our hands. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor. I grew up in the beautiful rural countryside of Ohio, where animals roamed freely in the open forests. I have a deep concern to help preserve those open spaces for our wildlife friends so they can live and thrive like they used to. Destruction of their habitats threaten their very existence. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land where they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats, and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
If you are one of the millions of Americans with diabetes who have burning or tingling pain in your hands and feet, learn about new recommendations out on how to best treat diabetic nerve pain. A new guideline from the American Academy of Neurology finds several seizure drugs, antidepressants, and painkillers can help treat diabetic nerve pain. The strongest evidence shows the seizure drug pregabalin is helpful. To learn more or to find a neurologist near you, visit AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
You're listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island on AM 790 Talk and Business. Once again, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, and hello, hello, hello. Boy, do we have a lot going on this weekend. And I want to say, first of all, thank you so much to the Providence Tourism Council. It is because of them that we are able to produce a full water fire lighting for you and our entire community on Sunday, which we rarely do. Actually, I think we only do it once a year.
Thank you.
And we've got the great lineup, but more than just being a Labor Day lighting and something for the community, we are celebrating our community, and we're celebrating the importance of the Rhode Island Holocaust Memorial, but we're talking about even bigger and more broad things, and we're so lucky to have Pauline Gitzoyen and Esther Kalasian on the line. They are from the Bornstein Center and helped to create, I believe, the curriculum, A Journey from Despair to Hope. And we've been speaking with them about the Armenian genocide, genocide in general, and how we, especially coming from Rhode Island, the place that was founded by Roger Williams and big on religious tolerance, that we all need to be a little bit more tolerant of each other. So, ladies, I want to thank you again for joining us. And, you know, Barnaby, you were just having a wonderful discussion.
Well, it's an important discussion. And Pauline and Esther, I want to talk a little bit, because you are also, in addition to all your work with the Genocide Education Project, you have also been working with more recent issues. I know Shinavi Shine has been working with you about the situation that happened with Cambodia. Are you there?
Esther, are you still there?
No, maybe they're not there. Well, I know they've been working with...
You're here. Hello.
Oh, okay, there you are. I know you've been working, because unfortunately, we've since had the Cambodian Khmer Rouge challenge, and you've also been working with this Genocide Education Project with Shinavi Shine as well.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, we are... many communities are involved. Unfortunately, there are too many that have been touched by genocide and genocidal acts, and the Cambodians are one such community, very prominent in Rhode Island, and Shinavi is very active in this work, working with our committee, the Holocaust and Genocide Education Committee. We were formed in response to the legislation that just passed last year that will now require the instruction of the subjects of Holocaust and Genocide in the curriculum for all middle and high school students here in the state of Rhode Island. And Shinavi is definitely very involved in helping us provide appropriate curriculum materials, which will then be housed on the Rhode Island Department of Education's website with a special dedicated link for Holocaust and Genocide studies, something that has not been done before, and the Department of Education here in Rhode Island is working very closely with our committee to ensure that this happens.
And this is one of the few states that's doing this.
Absolutely. There's only about 11 states in the entire country that are requiring such instruction. So we're very proud. Michigan passed a law at around the same time that Rhode Island passed a law requiring this education. So clearly more, and I believe there's at least maybe seven more states that are considering similar legislation. So clearly many states in the country are realizing the significance and the importance of teaching about genocide and the Holocaust.
Well, I'd love to thank both of you for joining us on air. And we're going to go on to talk to Jim Vincent in a moment. But you were just going to add something?
Yes, actually, Esther was going to add something about what our educators focus on. So I'll let her explain a little bit.
One of the points that our Holocaust and Genocide Education Committee is focusing on is providing materials for our educators so that they can create civilized discourse for their students. Free, open, civilized discussion today meets more challenges, as you all know, specifically with many people with their individual social media groups. And we're teaching that word choice matters. And teaching our students that active speaking, listening attentively, examining all sides of an issue, forming an opinion with an awareness of others' perspectives, and awareness of point of view, all of this is all included within our curriculum.
Which applies to so many things, I mean, for all these subjects.
Well, yeah, and you know, Barnaby, as we, you know, we look at what we're celebrating and what we're actually trying to do on Sunday, it's much broader than just the Armenian genocide, as we talked about. At every point, I think if we look back through history, there has been some sort of persecution, whether it's of the Irish or the Native Americans. Yeah. So there's always
been
this
civil rights struggle. Absolutely. I mean, this has been a challenge in all nations. This is not an American tragedy. This is a tragedy in all nations, and it just points to the necessity of people being organized and consistent and firm in their absolute refusal to let this happen again.
Yeah, so I'd like to say, Pauline and Esther, thank you again for joining us. We're going to be talking to Jim Vincent, and I know that we will see you on Sunday But as we do this memorial and
Pauline and Esther and Jim Vincent and Ray Rickman and Shanai and her husband and many people from the Jewish community will be on the boat setting alight the fires as we make this larger statement about tolerance and engagement and the strength of a community uniting to not allow ourselves to be divided by hatred.
You know, after talking with you folks, it reminds me of what Jesus said as one of the Beatitudes, and Beatitudes means blessing. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, as well as Dr. King. Mm-hmm. If we do not learn to live together as brothers and sisters, we shall surely die together as fools.
And you know what? I know somebody who knows a lot about this and can speak a lot to it, and that's Mr. James Vincent, who I know we have on the line. He's the president of the NAACP in Providence and such an incredible man. So, Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're so delighted to have you and so thankful for the work you've been doing for these many, many long years in Rhode Island, and it's so important. So,
thank you for that.
So we were just talking about, you know, Jim, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. And I'm here with the Reverend Dr. Richard Dannenfelser, who did a lot of work with Dr. King and a lot of marches. And but
in jail with him.
Yeah, you were in jail with him, too. But, you know, what we're trying to talk about here is the broader picture of, you know, how we deal with what's happened in Charlottesville, how we learn from the lessons of our past and history. And again, that it seems to have, you know, it's not just isolated towards one group. It seems to keep, the wheel keeps moving, let's put it that way. Jim, what do you see happening, and what are your thoughts on, you know, equality and tolerance as we look here in Rhode Island and as we look in the nation in general?
Well, you know, fortunately in Rhode Island, it seems like we seem to be more tolerant than in a lot of other places, but we can't rest on our laurels. We have to constantly be vigilant, because things that happen in other parts of the country can't happen here. So we must be unified, and we must speak with one voice in terms of that we will not accept intolerance and bigotry and hatred in our state. And I think that, you know, things like Water Fire bringing together all the different communities, I think, makes a powerful statement that not here will we ever accept anything resembling what we saw in Charlottesville.
Yeah, and it's important for everyone to be there. I mean, the NAACP has been looking at one of people have called the original sin of America, this issue of slavery and how it has fractured the nation and the ongoing challenge of it for 200 years. And the NAACP has been an absolute leader and a clarion voice in this, and I want to thank you for that. And I know we've talked about the World War II Memorial, but the issue of bigotry and hatred and the privation that comes because of bigotry is something that you guys have been fighting for 200 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to continue to fight. It's sad that, you know, some of the same issues that we talked about 50 years ago and now we have to talk about again. It seems like history is repeating itself. And, you know, we remain vigilant, and we have allies that are on the line and in the community. And so we're thankful for that, because the communities have always been unified when it comes to fighting bigotry. As you know, as those who walked with King and were jailed with King, it was a very diverse community that really fought that kind of hatred. It was always that way, and I'm glad that it continues to be important that we have this unity.
Well, that's the spirit of why we wanted to invite the community to just come together. And we'll be doing this rain or shine. I know at 7:15 we're asking everyone to gather at the Rhode Island Holocaust Memorial and just to express their solidarity for the message that's enshrined in the need to make that memorial and in the work that all of you have been doing. And, Jim, you'll be joining us on the boat to help set these fires of hope and enlightenment on the river as well. And we're very grateful for that.
Well, I'm grateful to be asked, you know, so I thank you for thinking of me and inviting me.
Well, you know, is there any further thought? I know when I saw Charlottesville, I had this feeling that I thought we were so much further along in this battle. And I think everyone had that feeling. And it reiterates the need that it's not something you ever win. You just have to constantly be on guard for this.
There's something new that's happening in Charlottesville beside the evil that is being done. And that is that a number of people who, in fact, I have talked to, as well as some of my colleagues have talked to, is that the enemy, okay, is relatively well trained, because some of them are former military veterans,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are armed.
Yes.
But do we find that here? And Jim, maybe you can answer this the best way. And we are a very tolerant state for the most part. What are some of the challenges that you continuously see here in Rhode Island that we need to make sure remain on people's watch, and that we constantly keep it in the front of our faces so that we don't forget?
Well, I mean, we do see instances of hatred and bigotry even in Rhode Island. So, I mean, I don't want to say that we don't. We're constantly being challenged with issues of police brutality and other things. So we just need to be mindful of the fact that we have to stay vigilant here because things can get out of hand. People now are feeling that they can act out, that it's okay, and that political correctness is a thing of the past. And so we need to really be vigilant right now, especially. And I think that this discussion, and I think the water fire and what's going to happen Sunday, you know, it's much, it's timely, it's much needed, and we just have to not get too smug and think that, no, it can't happen in Rhode Island because we are different kinds of people. No, it can happen anywhere, and we have to be really vigilant.
And I think we've got to start rather young. I mean, these are values that we need to establish with our children in our school systems. And, Jim, do you see a lot of that happening, that there's some programming, especially literally in our elementary schools, so that, you know, that this bigotry and this hatred does not start at such a young age? I mean, and that tolerance is the actual thought and the plan to move forward and what we teach our children when it comes to values.
Well, it's very, very important, because what really saddened me more than anything is that if you look at the people that were marching in Charlottesville, especially this Friday night, and talking about how Jews would not replace us, they predominantly were people in their 20s.
Yeah.
They were young
right.
men.
Yeah.
They weren't people in their 50s and 60s and 70s that people say, well, they're all set in their ways, and when they die out, we're going to have the Shangri-La. No, these are people that were under 30 that exemplified a hatred and bigotry that I haven't seen in decades. So what's up with that? What's going on where somebody in their 20s has that kind of rage and hatred for anybody, let alone Jewish people or black people?
Because it's somewhat rooted in our culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, we better learn to be merciful, because we all live at each other's mercy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Richard pointed out one thing that was new, which was the military training of some of the people there, and I don't know whether it was real. I saw some veteran paraphernalia. I do know the 82nd Airborne was absolutely outraged to see someone wearing their insignia when they had lost so many people in World War II and fighting the Nazis, and that was very interesting to see that discussion within the veterans.
I also saw 101st Airborne.
Yeah, right. And
which is incited in Kentucky.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing that's new, as you know, we have parents around the nation expecting the president to be an example that they could help use as a useful teaching device with their children, and he's not setting the example we would expect as
he's
parents.
He's setting an
or
example
citizens.
Hugely yes, the other way.
The wrong way. And that's partially why Waterfire felt, you know, all of us need to step into this this silence and reach out to our partners, our friends. I mean, Jim, you, for example, but the Bornstein Center, the Holocaust Memorial. And we cannot be silent. And that's why we fought that this Sunday was a time to gather people together. So we're so pleased to have your participation and all the work you're already doing.
Well, blessings on Waterfire for bringing that together.
Yeah, and Barnaby, as we look to what's going to happen, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Jim, but is there going to be different sorts of music that's going to be representing all of these different cultures?
We will be including music specifically at the lighting on from many of these cultures and more beyond as well. Jim, you were just about to say something.
No, I was getting ready to say that it is timely. It's great that we're all coming together right now, that there is a climate now that, you know, it's okay to expose your bigotry, your bias. And it starts at the top, so I think that when you say that, it's being it's being tolerated. Yeah, it's aggressively being tolerated because, you know, it's being exploited, you know, for political gain, political personal gain. And
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what's going on. And, you know, it, the president has used whoever to further his own agenda, and we have to be mindful of that.
And there's something else that's different. We have the Internet. And the Internet is this sort of echo chamber, quiet space where people feel they can say things that are, you know, not being heard by others, but they are multiplied in a deep way. So we have this other issue we need to talk about. And in fact, you know, the very symbolism of water fire is this act of our setting alight and enlightening the community and using light as a metaphor for positive construction. So it, you know, it was disturbing to see the torches in University of Virginia, where they've sort of stolen what was a sacred tradition of celebration of Promethean invention and this torch of knowledge and this mark of a community being able to do something, and to suddenly see them sort of, you know, steal that symbolism and turn it into a weapon of hate. And it's true of almost anything that you know, any symbol. So, and
I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, again, it's starting from the top and it's going down, but we've got to start early and we've got to create programs and create awareness. And as we're going to talk a little bit more about, Barney, let's let people know what we're doing. We talked about things in general, but really at that 7:15 moment, you said you want to bring people together, no speaking program.
Right.
So I know at the Holocaust Memorial, the one beautiful thing that I've seen happen on Water Fire Nights is people come and they add their own piece.
Yeah,
they put the marbles on. Well, can you explain the symbolism of that?
We should mention that
we're going straight through.
We're going to go straight through. Okay, yep. Good. Jim, I hope you'll stay on. We were going to have Ray Rickman join us, but we haven't been able to find him.
We don't have Ray, but we've got Rob, who is also part of Stages of Freedom, and I believe he's on the line,
okay,
too.
Okay, good. We'll bring Rob in. That's great. The memorial, if you'll remember it, it was designed by Jonathan Bonner. And the central element is what he calls the Life Stone, which is a large white stone. And then there's a curving path that goes through the greenery. And there's a long-standing Jewish tradition of placing a small pebble on a grave as a sort of pledge to never forget, as a physical act in real time now to remember and to make a commitment to remember. And we, with the discussion of several rabbis to make sure we had this interpreted correctly. Mm-hmm. We invite the public, as they walk through that memorial, to pick up a glass pebble and to place it on the Life Stone as a statement of their own personal resolve that hatred will not be part of our community and that we will not forget this. And we don't explain it. We let the crowd explain it to each other. And this is sort of what this silent ceremony will be about. We will be having the community gathering in a circle around the memorial, and we will have some children of the survivors, so they're like the third generation post-World War II. They will take the lanterns from the people in the circle and place them to mark the path, and then we'll invite everyone to just pass through the memorial and pick up one of those pebbles and place it on the Life Stone as their simple affirmation that never again, that all of these battles, the civil rights battle, the sexual rights battle, the Native Americans' position, the remembrance of the travails that the Irish had when they came here, as all the way up through Cambodia, that this is an ongoing, ever-standing position that we all must have as members of our community and as citizens.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, Barnaby, because as you were speaking, and I was thinking about Dr. Dannenfeldser, or the Reverend Dr. Dannenfeldser, when you were at Brown, always known as a very progressive university. because that's the way to put it, right?
That's being very kind.
When you were there, now, it's very curious because I know that you headed up a lot of rallies having to do with, just as Barnaby was saying, the sexual revolution that was happening, which included persecution at points. And there's still a sexual revolution happening now as we look at our gosh, our transgender community and our gay and lesbian community.
It's a sexuality revolution.
There's a sexual revolution happening. So there's all these different ways of looking at it. When you were at Brown, that was mostly in the 60s and the 70s, right? Going up into maybe 1980, 81?
I left in 1981.
So do you see anything? What were the main things that were happening then? And do you see them, therefore, reflected now?
Because the issues that you mentioned, okay, are still there, okay? They may be a bit more subtle, but they're still there. H. Rapp Brown said something I will never forget back when I was at Brown. And H. Rapp Brown says that in terms of this country, and I would imagine that it's also relevant, that violence is as American as cherry pie. And it takes different forms, mm-hmm. but violence only begets violence.
Right. So you've seen the same thing happening.
The same issues are there.
You know, and it's interesting because we have on the line somebody, we got Rob from the Stages of Freedom. He's going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing, because I see these emails come through all the time, sure. and I wish I could get to see more of the performances that are happening. I think Rose Weaver is often very involved.
Well, there are a lot of things. I mean, that's an organization that I'm sure Rob will talk about. Is Rob here?
Rob, are you on the line?
Well, it's an organization which is focused on trying to... I think we lost Rob. But trying to bring more attention to the Black Rhode Island experience, to do programming and to talk in general about that. And they have a new office, which is at, I think, 10 Waybosset Street, which is going to be open that night. It's the intersection of Waybosset, just past Memorial Boulevard, right there where we have the Turks Head Ballroom. And they'll be open till 9:30 that night, so that's a place to go visit. You can see more about their programs, more about their exhibitions. It's something that Ray Rickman and Rob have been working on for some time.
And I think Rob just joined us.
Oh, good.
Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Great. Yeah, I got disconnected, I guess.
Well, we're glad that we've got you back, and we were just talking about Stages of Freedom. For people out there that might be listening that are not aware of the organization, can you give us a little bit of a background and, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it?
Stages of Freedom, to begin with, my name is Rob Dimmick. I'm program director and co-founder of Stages of Freedom with Ray Rickman. We're a little more than a year old at this point and newly situated in the Merchants Bank at 10 Westminster Street, right on the river, which that space now includes a museum of African-American history specifically related to Rhode Island, currently showing Do Lord Remember Me, the Black Church in Rhode Island, which is an extraordinary glimpse into African-American spirituality from its earliest foundings here in Rhode Island right through the elevation of Bishop Jeffrey Williams last summer at Grace Cathedral. So Stages of Freedom essentially has three missions. One is to tell the story, the rich and exciting story of African-American life in Rhode Island. Second is to raise funds in any possible way to put children of color in swimming lessons, to drive down the incidence of extraordinary drownings that occur in our state with African-American and Latino children. And third is to engage our youth at every level possible. So we offer every year two etiquette programs, one for young girls of color that teaches them how to take tea, and through that process at the Lippitt Mansion on the east side, they learn how to sit
That's
at
great.
A table, how to talk to perhaps people they've never met before. We do a workshop called Bow Ties for Boys, which teaches young men of color essentially using the bow tie as a symbol of getting your act together, how to shake a hand, make eye contact, have a conversation with an elder.
I probably need to attend both of these.
I was going to say, Barnaby's going to send me to the tea.
I need to attend both of these.
Go see Bob Bird.
That's a great program. Hey, Rob, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but yes, continue.
What we are about now is engaging in this extraordinary sort of gift shop that we've created, which is about a third of our space. Everything in that space has been donated by people who understand and get what we do, and every sale pays for swimming lessons.
Right.
So we have art, we have books, we have bric-a-brac, we have small furnishings. It's just an extraordinary sort of assemblage of wonderful things that people seem to be completely engaged with when they walk in the space. And when we say why we're here, you know, that when you buy something, you're helping pay for a swimming lesson. You just see the sort of light go on in people's eyes and in their minds. And it's a totally engaging sort of moment for them to realize that, you know, just by purchasing a book or a piece of art,
absolutely,
they're contributing to something that is changing lives.
Well, more than changing lives, it's also saving lives. I think when you mentioned the swimming lessons, you mentioned it briefly, but we have a tragic loss of young people who don't know how to swim in the Black and the Latino community, and it's so easily resolved. And it's just from lack of opportunity for them to have ever had swimming lessons. So this is, it's changing lives and it's saving lives.
Yes, and you know, as we, you know, we do a lot of fundraising, you know, with individuals and corporations and foundations, you know, and helping them understand that, you know, when they give their dollars, they are indeed saving lives, but they're also changing lives. When you take a, you know, a young child of color and place them in a essentially all-white YMCA where they learn how to swim, you're changing that space. You're giving the opportunity for white people to interact with a person of color, and you're giving them a chance to see the wider world, shall we say. You know, it's a shame to say that we still live in a largely segregated community.
Well, Rob, thank you so much, and I'm sorry that I'm going to have to cut you short, because it's so fascinating what you're doing, and I encourage people to look up Stages of Freedom and to visit.
And it'll be open until 9:30 this coming Sunday, so we absolutely want to be there. We've run out of time. Yeah. Rob,
thank you,
Jim,
so much,
Pauline,
for joining us.
Pauline, Esther, Adam, all of you, thank you so much.
And the Reverend Dr. Dan Amfesser,
well, let's
thank
not
you.
Also, I see a lot of hope going on in that, in terms of we are becoming aware of the evil that is flourishing, and we have to live, as Bishop Tutu says, we have to live as prisoners of hope.
All right, everybody. So we hope to see you down by the riverside and in Memorial Park this Sunday. Happy Labor Day weekend, and we are looking forward to seeing you at Waterfire. Thanks, Barnaby, for being an incredible co-host, as always.
Great to see you, Bronwyn. Richard, great to see you. And thank you to all our guests. Yes. So, rain or shine, this coming Sunday, that's May 3rd.
We'll be down
or
by
September
the river.
Or September 3rd. September 3rd. What am I saying?
Yeah. What month are you in? We'll see everybody down by the river. Thank you for listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790.